Good morning and welcome to Prairie. In case you haven't realized, we're having a very special program this morning with a very special person, Jim Scott, who we've sung a lot of his songs over the years and we'll sing a lot of them today. He's written lots of music, lots of has albums and guitar instruction book, if you're trying to learn guitar. Lots of choral music, some of which we've used. And was one, which I didn't know, one of the original creators of the Green Sanctuary program, of which we worked very hard to get our certificate on when the program first came out, thanks to lots of efforts here and still work on it. My name's Barbara Park. I'm the music director here. And we welcome you all to Prairie. We like to consider ourselves an open-hearted, open-minded congregation, and we welcome everybody no matter where you are on your faith journey or lack of faith journey. And Rachel has got an announcement for us.
Yesterday we received the certificate for unyielding dedication to the men's drop-in shelter to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. And we will be putting this on the bulletin board, which will be up at least today.
And then it'll go away.
And then it will end up on a bulletin board somewhere else. But I just wanted to thank those people who, it's a small but very dedicated group that has been helping out at the homeless shelter, and they are always looking for more people to help, so please consider pitching in. This is something that Prairie's done for a long time, but like most volunteer efforts, it's a small group of Prairie that does it, and they could always use a few more hands.
So take it away, Jim. Well, I didn't introduce Helen. You could introduce.
Yes, I brought a couple of prestigious.
Right, and Helen has sung here.
Yes. I take credit for bringing them here the first time, though they're local. Helen Avakian and Dave Irwin are here. Helen's going to play some music. You've heard them before. And they were brave enough to sit in the front rows. They usually keep that open. We are gathered again in that dangerous bastion, the church that threatens family values, the church that wants to undermine the authority of the Father, the church that has half forgotten the Creator in its pagan worshiping of the creation, the church that those right-wing radio ministries have warned us about, this church of bleeding heart liberalism, some thinly veiled front for leftist politics, of homosexual propaganda. I like it here. The church that assures you you won't be going to hell, no matter what you do in this life. And the church that often leaves the first few pews open for the diversity we're sure is going to show up. We're open to it. The church of practicing witches whose very assertion they don't believe in any devil confirms they must be accomplishing some of his work. And the church that sings carefully, not sure if there are any words we can totally subscribe to and not be questioning ourselves tomorrow or in the next worship committee meeting. The church that is not sure if there is in fact anything that we can celebrate with that passion and abandon those other churches hold for Jesus the Savior, Son of God the Father, although something lurks in us, we might be missing out on some of their fun. It is that search for ecstasy, enlightenment, and other things, including free coffee, which is often the only thing whose origins we don't question, that brings us together. This is my church, and I'm a Zion. This is the church that says to everyone, you're not only welcome, but we need you and your creative input in our continuing, evolving, dynamic culture. Diversity is a strength, a survival mechanism we believe in. We face the challenge of weighing new and ancient wisdom in our search for guidance in this life, as well as the continuing creation of our own mythology. It's not an easy job. And we come together in meetings like this to offer each other ourselves for sustenance. As a great minister, friend, mentor used to say about this point, putting down his book or setting down his glasses, he'd say, well, that's about all I had to say. But I'm not going to stop now. That was a good lesson. Well, you know, yay, now something's going to happen. What's he going to say? I just want to say this. I hope it doesn't take a moment to say. I hope it doesn't sound defensive, but I have read that for a while. I suspect I might have even read it here. I've read it for a few years, and it's you know, evolved a little, but I'm delighted that people say, oh, can we reprint that in our church newsletter? And we like to make fun of ourselves, I think, sometimes. I do kind of miss that we, I don't want to get into the politics of it, but that we can't come to church on Sunday now repeating what Garrison Keillor said about Unitarians the night before. I have to just tell you a joke about Unitarians. Garrison Keillor did this joke, that kind of acting there. He was helping a beautiful young woman put this air conditioner in her window in the spring. And he puts it right through the window and goes crashing down three stories down to the pavement. And there are people down there looking at it. It just misses all the people. And I can't imitate all their accents, but he goes down there. It turns out one is a Catholic priest. He says, oh, Jesus saved me from, you know, what a close call. And the other person is a Jewish rabbi. He says, oh, God has chosen us again to survive. And there's a third woman there saying, far out. And he says, and who are you? She says, I'm a Unitarian minister. And he says, well, did you find anything spiritual about this near miss? And he says, yeah, don't stand too close to a priest or a rabbi. Okay, that does make fun of, I mean, what I wanted to say is, what I read before, I really didn't think made fun of other people's religions, but just recently I got another email. This is the third time over several years that someone has complained, saying we shouldn't make fun of other people's religions. I thought I was making fun of our religion, not others. What I said, and I think maybe people didn't hear it quite right, is we look at all these other churches here in our most segregated hour, said Martin Luther King. And there are churches that appear to be having a great time. They're clapping their hands and getting all excited about Jesus, my personal savior, or washed in the blood, or born again, or something to that effect. And we wonder, what do we have to get as excited about? Well, we have our seven principles. Now, what's so funny about that? Because these are, I was going to say radical, these are revolutionary ideas that we hope are universal enough for anybody to subscribe to the dignity and worth of every person. That's in the Massachusetts State Constitution, by the way, put there by Unitarians. And I'm not sure they meant every person back then, but they do now, I hope. I live in Massachusetts, I will say. I also said, you won't be going to hell no matter what you do in this life. Now, I'm old enough to be one you before the two yous got together. I started at a Universalist church. Yeah, that's good. You get it. Erasmus High School, Brooklyn. No, okay. What was I saying? So, I recall my dad, who was taller than me, taller than my brother and I, got to be with a deep voice, and we had him for math in high school because it was a small school. And I remember I might have been 6 years old, seven, and we left this tall, narrow church with the steeple, and he said, well, I guess hell had been brought up in the service. And he said, well, we Universalists don't believe that a loving God would sentence us to an eternity of damnation, of hellfire, and all of that. That was a liberating thing to find out when I was a kid. And that is the gift we give to our young people to question this bombardment of sort of common accepted knowledge that gets into movies and in imagery of all of that, or you know, current marketing, and even into our public schools, religious ideas, you know, and particularly Christian. And we are confronted with, I won't point up what danger we might be in, but here we meet with a relative abandon, presuming separation of church and state, for the moment anyway, and freedom of religion. There are folks, and I grant them good hearts, I think, that say, apparently we were a Christian nation, I didn't know that, or we should get back to being that, and what, throw out all the others? This intolerance is yet another subject and a whole other sermon, not for today, as we celebrate our Mother Earth today. But this diversity on the earth is something we've got to defend. The diversity on earth is collapsing. So at least among humanity, we could make this our life's work, I think. We're really good at Unitarian Universalists, are really good, I think, at this interfaith work. We can go to other churches and so on and say, well, we're all here in the same town. You know, we're people of faith too. We got ours, so we don't have to agree, that being one of our principles right there, to work together. We share this town, this earth. So that's what we could work on together. That dignity, the worth of every person, you know, freedom of religion, you might say. Human rights. Then the free search for faith, freedom of religion, compassion in human relations, love. You know, you could get them down to practically one word. These things that we think anybody could subscribe to. Democracy, that's a little antithetical to some religions right there. We don't have a big book up here with all the answers. We make it up as we go along, as I joked about before. With all the highest intent and responsibility we can put to it, we are making this liturgy, this philosophy, this theology as we go along. The 3,000-year-old, 2,000-year-old stories are good stories, but here's what I was going to say later, I'm going to say it now. There are three times in my lifetime, post-World War II, there are three times as many people on the earth. There is 40% of the nature we had 70 years ago, and there is 1/4 of the insects we had. And we are now, scientists are talking about insect apocalypse. We are in the anthropogenic era, the human-affected era, the sixth great extinction of all time, pretty unquestionable, was caused by human beings. This was what I was going to say a little bit later, so I promise I'll talk less later as a result of this. So a war on nature has coincided with my life, just unprecedented in the history of this planet. Rebecca Solnit, a wonderful writer, wrote in Harper's Magazine, at the end of World War II, human cities were in ruins. But the animals were still kind of doing all right in jungles and rainforests and the wild places. And that has collapsed in my lifetime. Should I do something about that? I think so. So thank you for listening to that. And I promise you, I have one other thing to read later, and the rest is music. So I just did my talking. Thank you. You can applaud for that. It's very therapeutic to drive a long way and get people to pay attention to you. I think it's worth remembering that Mother's Day was originally Mother's Day for peace, for mothers to rise up and say, we want peace. Anne Jarvis, a nurse in Mother's Day, she founded Mother's Day actually in 1858 in response to what we call now high infant mortality. Children are dying, and the Civil War, particularly, in 1870, the word house, Mother's Day was called. So Mother's Day was already kind of established as a Mother's Day for life. But Julia Wood Howe made this, I'm going to read what she wrote, if you haven't heard it before, it's a good movie. So beyond, you know, just being a money-making thing for Hallmark, for the forests, for the National Public Radio, what this really meant was challenging the male model of God. Challenging Mother Earth, as I was saying, has been ruling for a while. Wonder if we're ready to transform. Time to see even beyond things, defying every agenda. We certainly have this even being with the legend. Julia Ward Howell said this: "Arise then, women of this day, all women who had hearts, whether our baptism be that of water or of tears. Say firmly, we will not have great questions decided by irrelevant cases. Our husbands shall not come to us reeking of carnage for caresses and applause. Our sons shall be not taken from us to unlearn all that we've been able to teach them of charity, mercy, and patience. We women of one country will be too tender to those of another country to allow our sons to be trained to injure theirs. From the bosom of the devastated earth, a voice goes up with our own. It says, disarm, disarm. The sword of murder is not the balance of justice. Blood does not wipe our dishonor, nor violence indicate possession. As men have often forsaken the plow and the anvil, at the summons of war, let women now leave all that may be left of home for a great and earnest day of counsel. Let them meet first as women to bewail and commemorate the dead. Let them then solemnly take counsel with each other as to the means whereby the great human family can live in peace. Each bearing, after their own time, the sacred interest not of Caesar, but of God. In the name of womanhood and of humanity, I earnestly ask that a General Congress of Women, without limit to nationality, may be appointed and held at some place deemed most convenient and at the earliest period consistent with its object, to promote the alliance of different nationalities, the amicable settlement of international questions, and the great and general interest. Well, aside from how many turn out in that full assessment, So that was in 1870, and of course there was great gatherings and building university, including office in the Post Office, Seneca. This would be better presented if I stood up and read a poem, but I'm, if you don't mind, just logistically, I can get this. I'm sitting right here. A great friend, she used to be my manager, is very devoutly Christian, and I think it's beautiful what she, you know, the imagery, I don't agree with it, but the imagery that she celebrates. And she was saying something recently, I don't know, about God and Jesus too, you know, having a plan or is going to save her or something. And I was just, I just wanted to play devil's advocate. Oh boy, devil. Another advocate or something. And question, what are we talking about exactly? I said, is God just God for humans? Oh no, much bigger. God for animals too. Yes, and God for a whole place. Yes, oh yes. I had just seen on Facebook someone writing, "Oh, I'm so sorry that your devoted dog died. But he's probably up in heaven happily chasing squirrels. Heaven's not so good for squirrels, is it? And as I drive to Logan Airport to get on a plane to come here, I see there's a shrine to Mary, Queen of the Universe. Wow. The universe? Amazing. So, you know how big the universe is? She has a big job. You know those two black holes collided? They've done it probably a lot, but we were aware, last year, we were aware of this thing that proves something about Einstein's theories and everything. Here's my poem. O God of the two black holes that collided 2 billion years ago, but we just felt it now because it was so far away. And God of the 275 million or so stars that will be born on this Earth day and again tomorrow. And God of this little star with 8 or 9 planets, depending on who's counting. And God of this little planet, are you the same God? God of the elements, water, air, fire, and earth, and of viruses and bacteria and DNA, of photosynthesis and contagion and immunity, of growth and struggle, of suffering and surviving, God of crimes and mistakes, of wounds and of healing, God of evolution, nature, diversity, and lately, humanity, God of ideals and passion, of greed and dominance, of civilization, agriculture, industry, fossil fuels, and plastic. God of science and nonsense, God of truth and lies, God of war and oppression, enslavement, genocide, God of the refugees, the dispossessed, the lost, the broken, of hate and anger, and hiding right behind them, fear, and of amends and compassion, of cooperation. Now this is important, of cooperation. God of memory, stories, and lessons, of art and expression, of sharing and understanding, of love. Was love involved back there with the two black holes? And God of this world, are you the same God? For this little group, on this little part of this little ball that has brought us again the spring and made for us the seasons and the leaning toward the sun, awakening again that lust for life, adventure, exploration, risk, ecstasy, awareness, and aging, and enlightenment, where all our mistakes of the past become the compost for the fertile earth from which all is made anew. Are you still there? I know it's getting long. God of the senses, of beauty, of sorrow and elation, God for that one particular species with the power of language and learning, of dreams and of longing, of vision, imagination, the powers of creativity to have made you in our image. The best we could do with our small minds, who don't even know your name, we fight about that. We, who in this last flash of time have come to some little perspective on the whole thing, we're working on it. God of the wisdom of matter and energy trading places, of big bangs and expanding universes, and benign lack of oversight and trust in the evolution of things, to have let us go here with Eden. And maybe the same, but different, on lots of other planets, on round lots of other stars, in 500 billion galaxies, hundreds of billions of stars in each, 1 in 6 stars with planets around them. The odds are pretty good, God. Of trillions of springs at this very moment. Thanks for all this. Now, I use the word God, which I'll admit to you, I pretty much only use when I hit my thumb with a hammer, but I, we could just, here's the problem, the challenge. Studies of faith all around the world, this book's been written about this recently, say that a spiritual practice is a good thing. Any spiritual practice, it turns out, helps us live longer, happier, healthier. The thread through the whole thing is gratitude. To have gratitude and be in a state of gratitude, to be able to apply gratitude, to summon gratitude for another day, so on like that. This is a challenge for Unitarian Universalists because we're just not sure who to thank. So today, we thank our mother. Is she a deity? The goddess? That's beautiful, but I don't exactly subscribe to that myself. She is our ancestor. We are made of her. We're constantly changing places with her. Everything I've drunk in the last few weeks is my eyes. Everything that I've eaten and drunk in the last few months forms my skin. Everything that keeps falling off. And, you know, we don't exactly notice it, but it does. And electrons, of course, are shooting off of us all the time, so we become each other as we sit here together. We're bombarding each other, hopefully with something with affection connected. And this connection is what we're here for. This connection to everything, to our mother, to our family, to our ancestors, as I made the poem about before. Here's a little poem for that where I use another figure of speech, harmony. When Wisdom was a striking young man, he met a beautiful woman named Love. Now, I'm not really sure who was the man and who was the woman. Maybe they were the same sex. "I'd like to keep you," said Wisdom. "You can't own me," said Love, "but I love you anyway." "What would it cost to know you'd always be there?" asked Wisdom. "Don't ask such questions," said Love. "Just look at the stars." "Why?" Wisdom pondered. "Are they telling us something?" "Oh, chill out," chided Love. Which made Wisdom happy in a funny sort of way. And so it was that Wisdom fell in love with Love and thus became truly wise. Let's go in peace. Coffee hour, conversation, and analysis.